But before we do that this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been ghosted or ghosted someone long enough that you maybe got a funny text that maybe read like this, where they asked, "Can I get some proof of life?" I will admit, I'm on that list. One of my good friends from where we lived before, he was texting me and we were in the midst of all that was going on. Actually, it was just a couple weeks ago. And as he was texting me, I had messaged back and I had wrote back to his wife because she had texted as well. And he had texted and he's like, "You there?" Kind of like those pictures. "You here? You alive?" And I got busy. I got crazy. I figured everything was going on. So I didn't respond. And then, be honest, I forgot that he had texted. Ever been there? It wasn't on purpose. It was unread. And now it was down the list of like the 65 texts that are coming every day. And on those moments, I lost it. And then in that second, I forgot that it was there. And then I got this funny text. He's like, "Proof of life? If you're okay, blink." And so he asked that question, and it made me to ponder as we were prepping for this series and prepping for this message. It made me ponder that question as he joked, "Proof of life, if someone were to look at our lives as followers of Jesus, would there be proof of life? Would there be evidence of a life that is following after him? Would there be evidence that we live a dependent life like we talked Jesus did? Would there be evidence that you and I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us?" Because as we're going to look this morning, that is the truth, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells and dwells within you. Even today, if you're like, "Well, I don't like the Holy Spirit. I'm okay with the Father and the Son, but I don't like the Spirit." Tough. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've called on him, the Holy Spirit, as we're going to look, dwells within you, and there is life abundant within you that should be displayed outside of you. This gentleman, his name was John Stott, he said this: "There can be no life without the life giver, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit. And as a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead." Those are strong words, but they're truthful words. If we want to display the fruit of the Spirit, if we want to display and walk like Christ walked, like we said last week, he was dynamic, he transformed lives. If we want to be like him, and that's our call, because the plumb line for you and me, the plumb line for our church, is not, as we're going to see, to be a better us or a better you, but it's to be more like Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us that in Ephesians 4:13, that the goal for our life is the full measure of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be walking in. And as my job as a pastor is to equip us as the body, to equip you as the body, so that we would rise into that, that we would grow into that. But you and I can't do that alone. We need the Holy Spirit, or there isn't going to be proof of life. So this morning, let's unpack that a little bit. What does it mean to be transformed and changed from the inside out? So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of our talk is this: proof of life, change from the inside out. We're going to look at Romans 8, verse 7 to 11, and this is what it said: "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? In you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." So we see Paul in one of his most impactful letters a theology-rich letter. And we see that he is leaning in to this truth and in this chapter 8, which is filled with so much theology and so much truth, that he's reminding us that we need to be people who display life, and that life only comes through the Spirit, because when we believe on Jesus, the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead now dwells within us. So if he's there, there should be life. If there's life, there should be proof of life. Make sense? We're tracking? So this morning, let's see and look at what that means for our lives. If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, what should that look like? How should that impact us? And what kind of evidence should that display in our everyday life? So we start with the first truth, that sometimes when we feel like we're all alone and that we have to do this life alone, let's look at the truth that comes with that. You've got company. So if you would, look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got company. Say to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, is your house ready? I know that gets a little scary on that one. They're like, Pastor, you didn't tell me that. But in our lives, if we're truthful, many of us feel like we're all alone. One of the epidemics that changes our world and is impacting our world is loneliness. Feeling like we have no one with us, no one on our side, no one for us. But in this truth, if we call on the name of Jesus, if we believe on him, that he is the truth, the way, and the light, if we believe on that truth, it tells us, and Paul reminds us, that we now have the Spirit within us. We can't say that we believe on Jesus and that we're a follower of him and not have the Spirit. That comes to a word, if we were unpacking it, and there's a difference, as we're going to see over these next 2 weeks. That becomes the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That is, at the place of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes. He dwells within us. God himself, in justification, he declares us righteous. It's a forensic act where he declares over your life, you are now righteous. You have been made right before the Father. And in that place of justification, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells, as we said earlier, to be a seal upon your life, to mark upon your life that his permanent presence, remember as Alos, another helper, that permanent presence in your life is the marking of God saying, I am with you, I am for you, I will never leave you, your hope is eternal, that you are not the tail, but you are the head. It's in those moments he is marking you and sealing you. But it doesn't stop there. He comes in. He dwells within us. He marks us. But then he starts to change us. Because the Christian life, and broken down into two fancy words, is about justification, made right and declared right by the Father, and then sanctification, which is the ongoing, progressive, daily work of the Spirit within us, so that we would not become a better us or the better you, but instead that we would be transformed and changed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we would begin to walk and display his love, his character, his truth, his mercy, his grace. A.W. Tozer says these words, "The Holy Spirit never enters a person and lets them live like the world." So if you're like, well, Pastor, I got saved, so I don't have to change. The indwelling of the Spirit is for relationship. The Greek word that we've unpacked a lot over this last year, koinonia, fellowship, communion, relationship, like we see within the Trinity. That is what he's coming into us for, so that we could walk and be in that great dance, that we could be a part of fellowship and communion with one another and with him and with the Trinity. But then he also comes into our lives for transformation, that he starts to do a transforming work inwardly on us, that our character, our minds, and our hearts would start to be changed so that the old us is not running the show, but instead we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. But the good news is you and I don't have to do it alone, because we can't. That's why Paul in chapter 7 of Romans says, I know what I should do, but I don't. I know what I should think and what I should say, but so many times I mess up, and I think most of us can relate, can we not? I know what I was supposed to do on the way here, but then the kids were bad in the back. I know I wasn't supposed to be frustrated, but now I am. I know I was supposed to be leaning in, but this week you don't know my boss, Pastor. You and I have company. You don't have to do it alone. He's with you. He's changing in us. And if he dwells in you and I, change is inevitable. So don't fight it. When we ask Christ into our lives, we are declared righteous. But the Spirit now is starting his transforming work inwardly in us. It's inevitable. We have to have that change happening. If it isn't happening and growth is not occurring, we need to go to the physician for a checkup. We need to go and see what is wrong. So as we move along, we see, where does this change occur? So the second truth this morning is from the inside out. The work that the Spirit is doing within us isn't cosmetic surgery. It isn't putting more makeup on. And it isn't like fixing the rust mark on your car by saying, you know what, if I put just a whole big smock of Bondo on there and paint that, it's good to go. Many of us think that's how we should live our lives. We're believing for, and our culture and our world is saying, as long as the outside looks good, everything's good. But have you ever got to one of those moments where you bit into maybe a piece of fruit, and you realize as you bit in, you're like, oh, the outside didn't match. For some of us, that's how we live our lives. That when people test the fruit and get close to the fruit, and when they take a cut into the fruit, they realize that the fruit is not good. There is proof of a wrong life. In our lives, we have to realize what Paul is reminding us, that change starts on the inside. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the inward working and the inward ministry and the inward power of the Spirit changing us from inside so that it would display outside. It's about us coming to the place of saying, Holy Spirit, work in me, through me, and around me, and yielding our lives and our desires and our wants to the desires of the Spirit. That's hard. Yielding is hard. But that's what he's challenging you and me to do. Transformation, when we talk about it in a spiritual sense, is not self-improvement, it's spirit formation. And there's a huge difference between that. Because one is about making it look pretty. The other sometimes is painful, sometimes takes a little bit of time, but it's a deep work that's working from the inside, and it's forming us, it's changing us. It's actually a full transformation. A famous text that we're going to read just now that Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, is one that if you've been in church, you've probably heard once or twice before at least. But when we look at the word transformed, there's something there that we need to lean into. So let's read from Romans 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy or conform to the behaviors or patterns and customs of this world, but let God transform you into what? A new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many would like to walk in God's good and pleasing and perfect will for your life? I'm with it. But in order to do that, we need to be transformed and changed from the inside out. He has to change how we believe and how we think. He has to work on what is happening internally so that it can be applied externally. Because what you and I believe will dictate how we behave. We see him say that in his letter to the church in Ephesus as well. And as we lean into this, we also see that same truth in 2 Corinthians 3:18, being transformed into his image. The other place where we see this actual Greek word, metamorpho, where we get the word metamorphosis from, is in Mark 9, where we see about the transfiguration. And so we see that these moments, this is not about becoming a better you, but this is about a change of nature, a change of character, a change of form. A gentleman that I really admired from our last church, he was a beautiful widower, senior gentleman. He had worked in construction, but he had had this passion that his late wife had for monarch butterflies. And so he would go around and he would make all these wooden boxes with screening for the kids in the church. And I remember he made one for our kids when we moved there. Great carpentry skills. It was a beautiful box. And he said, here, I'm going to collect you a bunch of them. Because he said, I can't stop admiring the goodness of God as you watch this small caterpillar grow, go into the J, and it become something totally different. Change of form. And in that, we see in the science world, we would say that's metamorphosis. But in our life, what he's wanting to do in us is not just to put a little bit of Bondo on our lives, not just to put more makeup over the spot and to cover it up. What he's saying is, I want to change your nature. I want to change your character. I want to change your form so that you would start to resemble and reflect Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but would you like that? Imagine what our lives and our families and our workplaces and our church and our community would look like if we took this to heart and we actually leaned into the truth of the one who already dwells within us, because he's there. If you know Jesus Christ, the transforming one, the one who's working within, is already dwelling within you. But Paul left us with a responsibility. He highlighted the truth that we're saved instantly, but we're transformed daily. The old is gone, the new has come, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 would say. But transformation continues daily, and there's a responsibility that I have, and there's a responsibility that you have. Paul said it in our text there in 12. He said, do not conform, do not choose to, which means we have a choice, church. We can choose to allow ourselves to conform, or we can allow ourselves to yield. Every single day in those choices, we can be molded or squeezed into a mold of what the world and culture and society says, this is how you should believe, this is how you should behave, this is how you should respond. Or we can choose to say, I'm not going to conform to the patterns and the customs and the ways of our world, but instead, I am going to allow him, I'm going to yield my life, I'm going to yield my heart, I'm going to yield my mind to the ways of the Spirit that is working within me, that his ways would transform me. That even though I want to respond this way when someone does me wrong, I'm going to yield to the Spirit's convicting power within me that says, no, that's not right. That's not what Christ would do in that, so that's not what you should do. Every single day, we have a choice. Will we conform? Will we yield and be transformed? Will we ignore, or will we respond? What kind of proof of life is displayed in your life? Because both of those choices bring different fruit. If we conform, our beliefs are going to be changed into our behaviors, and we will act and live a certain way. But if we yield daily over time, we will start to be made on an ongoing process more and more like Jesus. How many can remember some times where all of a sudden somebody came back who maybe you knew in high school or in college, and they hear that you're a follower of Jesus, and they're like, man, you're not like you used to be. In my life, because I had such a temper, especially around sports, I remember one of my good friends, as God was doing a longer work in my life, when he started to see that God had taken away that anger and that temper, he's like, what happened to you? It opened the door of conversation because the change on the inside was so noticeable that it started to display on the outside. There was proof of the inward ministry and work of the Spirit in my life. And that's what happens in us. So there's a question I want to ask you today. What does the Holy Spirit need to transform in you to show proof of life or evidence of that relationship with him? Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? Bitterness? Comparison? Because remember, it's an ongoing work. It's a transforming work for every day of our lives. It doesn't end because we're on a journey of daily growing to be more like Him. So there is something there that Holy Spirit wants to shine a light on to grow in us, to cultivate in us, and transform in us so that in our lives and how we love and how we speak and how we act would display Jesus a little bit more. So what is He speaking to your spirit today? As we sit here, what is He leading and convicting and guiding in your life? Not just your friends, but in yours. Because His desire is that we would start to look more and more like Him. So we've looked at this truth that not only does Holy Spirit dwell, not only does Holy Spirit seal, not only does He inwardly change and transform, but He starts to have that truth where it starts to be displayed outwardly. Because what happens on the inside, the actions, or even better put, who dwells on the inside of you should be displayed on the outside of you. There should be, in our final point this morning, is proof of life. And we see that right from Scripture. What is the evidence of us choosing not to ghost the Holy Spirit and living a yielded life? Good fruit. It should be good fruit. Ripe fruit. Fruit that when people come into the room, they're like, oh man, I want to get close to that. I want to be around that. I might not always like what they have to say, but there's something about it that just draws me a little bit closer. That when someone steps on your feet or when someone does you wrong, yes, your natural response is like, oh, but you choose. And they're like, no. Why did you extend grace? Why did you have hope? Why did you have peace? That becomes the fruit. Jesus, in His own words, said these, you will know them by their, So He's saying the evidence of proof of life, life in Him, and life indwelt by the Spirit is displayed in the fruit that you and I produce. But the crazy part is we can't produce or grow fruit in our own strength. We learned that last week. So you and I can't ghost the Spirit because He's the one needed to produce the fruit in us that would display the life of Christ in us and through us. So that's why we have this whole series. You and I can't ghost the Spirit. You and I shouldn't be scared of the Spirit or fearful or apprehensive because He is the one who dwells within us. He's always with us if you're a follower. He's the one who seals us. And now He's the one who's gardening and producing fruit in us that will mark us as followers of Jesus. Our commission is to go and preach the good news, to make disciples who make disciples. Thus, that is a part of the fruit. We can't do that without the Spirit. So let's look at a few of the fruit that should be displayed in our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 reminds us of this. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you ever were in kids' church or in Sunday school, you probably have that song as we started going, and it's running through your head. You know, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, you know, all that through. Every time I read this, I can't help see that, but here's the truth. Did you notice that there isn't an S on the fruit? It isn't this kind of fruits in our lives. We love to say, I kind of like the love, joy, and peace, but patience, well, let's stroke that one out. Kindness and goodness, self-control, let's circle that. I don't want that one either. But you can't pull them apart. This is a package deal. That if we have the Spirit dwelling within us, all of those areas are proof of life. They need to be growing together. They should be being displayed as evidence of who we are as followers of Jesus, disciples and apprentices of Him. We can't just pick and choose which one makes me feel good and which one is easier. He is working all of those fruit in our lives. That's what happens when the Spirit is within us. So if we don't have those things, then we need to spend some time talking to him and growing in relationship and closeness, because that is what should come. That is the proof of life within you. So we can be, well, I'm really spiritual. I speak in tongues or I prophesy. But if I don't have love, then I'm nothing more than a loud sounding gong and cymbal. Same guy. He's reminding us that the inward ministry and work is important. The indwelling of the Spirit is needed and important, so we need to lean into this truth. So the question is, if someone were to look at your life, if someone were to look at my life, if someone were to look at our church's life, would there be proof of life? What evidence would be shown throughout that? But understand, this doesn't come by trying harder. I think if we're honest, we've probably all tried that one time or another. I'm just gonna try harder. I'm gonna do more. I'm gonna be better. If I just press a little bit harder, and yes, there's a part of our responsibility of partnering with him, but you and I cannot be good enough gardeners, internal gardeners, to produce the fruit that only comes through the Spirit. We have to trust, we have to yield, and then we have to choose to follow. That's the only way that it will happen in our lives. That's how he has set it up. So the question becomes, in a very practical way, how can we continue to join with the Spirit's work in our lives and display that truth even in this coming week? First one, that can help us to work, see what he's doing in our lives, but also have proof of life, is one, check your fruit. Evaluate the fruit. It's like going into the grocery store and you're looking at all the different ones and you're picking up the strawberry package and you're like, oh, those ones don't look good. Or you're testing out of how it looks or where it is. In our lives, we need to evaluate our own fruit. Evaluate really how you're doing. A very practical way that we can do this is on a scale of 1 to 10. Take those fruit of the Spirit and ask yourself, how loving am I this week? How was I this week? How patient was I this week? How filled with self-control, gentle, faithful? Don't beat yourself up, but be honest. And if there's a trusted friend or a spouse or someone around you that isn't there gonna, you know, to beat you up, but go and sit there and say, hey, can you do the same for me? And then take the average of those two. Because sometimes we're our worst critics and other times we're blinded by ourselves. And we're like, I'm a number 9 in patience. And everyone around you is like, no, you're not. No, you're not. We can't even flip that around and give you a 6. You know, it's not even in those moments. But when you measure that with someone else and you go and say, okay, I gave myself like a 4. But they know me well and they marked me as an 8. So maybe in this journey, there's some room for growth. This isn't about judging. This is about evaluating and doing a bit of an internal audit and saying, how am I partnering with him? How am I yielding to the Spirit? Because it's not about what I can do, but what Christ does within me. It's leading and trusting him. But sometimes we have to have a reality check to see and evaluate the fruit that's going on in us. Number 2, we need to yield to his leading. If we want to follow him, if we want to display good fruit, we're going to have to yield ourselves every day and surrender and say, God, help me. Help me. Change me, transform me, mold and make me. Remember some of those old songs? Mold me, make me. Go to the potter's wheel and say, I surrender my day to you. I surrender my life to you. Go in prayer and say, God, I yield to your Spirit. Grow the fruit in me that needs to be. Convict me of areas and areas that need to grow and change and be transformed. And then when we hear that, remember conviction of the Spirit, when he shines the light on those areas that need to grow, then ask him, show me Christ again. Through his word, show me the heart of Christ, show me the actions of Christ. And now, Holy Spirit, give me the strength. I repent. Give me the strength now to walk in what he said. So if he convicts you about maybe some unforgiveness, and you see that Jesus could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, then ask the Spirit to yield and to say, you know what, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to forgive them. And then respond. Even this, we can say this, Holy Spirit daily. Holy Spirit, I yield my thoughts today to your leading and direction. Holy Spirit, guard my reactions today. And Holy Spirit, lead my responses today. So I yield my thoughts today to your leading, guard my reactions today, and lead my responses today. Let us truly be people that are led and directed by the Spirit, not the flesh or ourselves. Last but not least, stay connected. Where does fruit grow its best? On the vine. Didn't Jesus say that we should abide within the vine? That when we're abiding, when we're close, we're going to grow, we're going to develop, we're going to ripen. So in our own lives, we know we can't do it in our own strength or in our own power. We develop and we grow best when we're connected to Him. So when we're in the Word, when we're in prayer, when we grow in the spiritual disciplines, worship, prayer, solitude, journaling, when we lean into some of those truths and we grow and we do our part of the responsibility, the fruit will start to grow and ripen. I don't know about you, church, but I want to have proof of life that God is in me and working through me. Wouldn't that be good to be said about our church? That man, they know they're not totally there yet, oh, but they display Jesus in how they speak and how they think and how they act. They love like He loved. They forgive like He forgave. And then we could say it's not us, but it's Him working in us. That's why you and I should never ghost the Spirit, but instead yield and respond to Him. Because He indwells so that we're never alone. He changes from the inside out. And then because of that, He grows good fruit in our lives, through our lives, and around our lives for His glory and our good. Church, that's the desire of our hearts. This morning, would you pray with me as you stand? Lord, this morning we thank you for who you are. Lord, in this place, we start with the first truth that Paul reminded us in his text, in his letter, that the only way that we can have the indwelling of the Spirit is first to have a relationship with the Son. So Lord, if there's those in this place who do not yet know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, and as they've been listening, they've said, I want to have proof of life. I want to walk in love and forgiveness, and I want to be faithful and walk in self-control. I want all of those things that you talked about. Let them know that the only way that they can have that is through Jesus. And that if they would call on His name, believe on Him as the Son of God, believe on Him as the one who came and died on a cross for our sins, as the perfect sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, that if they would call on you, they would be saved, and Holy Spirit, you would dwell. So Lord, with no one looking around right now, if you're in this place, and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, and today you want to, you're like, Pastor, that's for me. I want to know Him. I just encourage you, if you're here, just to slide up your hand. It's the greatest choice we can ever make is to follow Him, for Him to be our Lord, to be our Savior. Let me just give a second. And the second part is if you've made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, the next part is realizing the truth that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and there should be proof of life in our lives. So today we say, Jesus, we say, Lord, move in us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your transforming work that is working in us and through us. Let it be our prayer from the youngest to the oldest in this place and our online that our lives would display good fruit, Let it be said of us individually and corporately that we are people that are yielded to the Spirit, that are led and directed by His call, and that our lives produce fruit that points people to Jesus. Lord, that's our desire. So help us. We know we can't produce good fruit in our own strength, so we need your help. So Holy Spirit, come, fill us anew, empower us for service. Do what only you can. As we leave here today, let us display good fruit in every conversation and interaction we have for your glory and for our good. Lord, we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we said together, church, amen and amen, amen, amen.